I believe a lot of times we, as believers, go through an awful lot of questioning about how can we approach God if we're not quite perfect yet. If we've still got a little bit of a struggle, we focus on that. And the accuser's on usually the left here, left shoulder or the right shoulder, and he accuses and accuses until we listen. I'm praying today that you can put him out of business by faith. Okay? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's something that's progressive being built in us, and it's already given to us in seed form. So Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not works, and I stress the reality of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. Notice again, it's by faith. So if you and I are depending on a works program to progressively feel better about ourselves, we're going to have a problem. Because the emotions are going to go up and down just like the water on the edge of the ocean. And when that happens, you end up emotionally in control. And the Lord says in his word that it's by faith that you're going to be made righteous. And it continues. You've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It doesn't say which stands down the road. It's now. It's a positive thing for the moment. Amen? And it also says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Now, if I'm like you, whenever suffering comes around, I don't get happy. Yet the scripture says to rejoice. Last week, we had a man who had never read Prison to Praise. And I gave him a copy of that book a few weeks ago. And he says, that's the best book I ever read. I said, why? Because it gave you an opportunity to come out of yourself and to rejoice in your difficulties. And to rejoice in those hardships that you go through. Because they're real. They're not make-believe. So, you say, well, why should I praise God for my hardships? Or rejoice in my suffering? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance also produces character. And character produces hope. So how do you get from all these difficulties into hope? One little step at a time. Now, why would God allow his children to go through a test? Well, I've got news for you. My children went through a few tests when I was bringing them up. And when my father was in charge of me, there were a few times that I had a problem with my father. Anybody relate? I'll give you a scenario that I spoke about years back. But we lived on a farm, and I was about 5 years old, five or six. I had a couple of dogs. One was a little tiny house dog, and the other one was a great big German Shepherd. Since I was brought up by my half-brother and his wife, I was brought up alone, even though I was the 21st child of my father. So I was given away. But my joy was to make little tiny paths in the backyard and on the side of the shed. And my dogs would follow me wherever I would go. So I enjoyed leadership even at 5 and 6 years old. Look at your neighbor, say, leaders are okay.
Leaders are okay.
Amen?
Amen.
You know why? Because that's making me feel better. I like feeling good. So I'm walking, Okay, and I'm walking, and I made some paths in the snow. It was about maybe 6, 7 inches, maybe 8. And it was a nice, you know, like we had the last week, 40, 45, somewhere in there. Nice sunny day. And my dogs were following me. And I was getting to make a circle bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, my dad yelled at me. Now, he was on the other side, and he was doing some work with a pile of lumber. And he said to me, "You see that area over there where it's kind of like a brownish color?" Which, by the way, if you haven't figured it out, it was slush. And he said, "Don't go any further, because if you make this circle one more time, you could be in trouble." Anybody guess what happened? I went one more time, and he had warned me because he saw me coming the second time, and he said, "I'm not telling you anymore." And as he spoke those words, I hit the little gully underneath, and down went the rear end and the entire body in the slush. Now, guess what? The dogs were smart enough not to do that. But I went under. Dad ran over, grabbed me, ran me in the house, and I am wailing at the top of my lungs. And even at 5, I had a good set of lungs. Wailing, and I'm blaming my father. "It's Daddy's fault, it's Daddy's fault, it's Daddy's fault." And I'm all wet, and he stripped me naked. Okay? And I can remember, we're standing right in front of the little furnace. Got no clothes on. And he kept saying, "I warned you," very calm, cool, and collected, "and I am wailing. It's Daddy's fault, it's Daddy's fault." And Mom picked up on it. She said, "You're going to be quiet." She said, "If it wasn't for Daddy, you wouldn't be in the house right now. You'd be in the hot, you know, hot seat, in the ice, basically." And you see, that's the function of the soul, to react. The function of the mind, will, and emotions, and to blame somebody, anybody. Come on, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't guilty. After all, he only warned me twice.
You were testing him.
I was stubborn, plain English. And proud.
Your friend.
Of course, I had a right to be proud, right? And I had a right to try it.
Yeah.
And my father had given me 2 warnings. Everything is established in 1 or 2. Sometimes 3, okay? But he did it twice. But my father was not the type to yell at me.
No.
Uh-uh. No. He would warn me twice, and usually then came an adjustment. And he loved to let me teach myself. And I did the same exact thing with my kids. You want to step in the mud? Go ahead. I warned you. After that, we'll pick you up and clean you up later. Let them get dirty. It's okay. My wife, however, tried to prevent them from getting dirty. So we had a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
What am I saying to you? What were those trials for? By the way, he gave me a hot toddy, put me to bed, and I slept for the whole afternoon. That's right. You say, "What do you mean? He gave you alcohol?" Yes, he did. That was the remedy of the day. You took a hot toddy, put a little bit of sugar in there with hot water, and I presume it was gin. And those of you who are scandalized, get over it. Well, it warmed me up. I sweat. I came out of that bed all wet, but I didn't have any sickness in me. And I was fine. Was I ready for seconds? No. Was I ready to go out and back and play in the yard? No. Was I kind of reflecting? Yeah, I believe I was. Had I earned a
any credits with Mom? No. Mom knew Dad was right. How did Dad feel? How did Dad feel?
Disappointed.
A little bit disappointed, but also recognized that he was pouring love into me. Just like my Heavenly Father, when I goof, pours more love into me. When I'm having a hard time and I'm really, really suffering, and I'm saying, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to praise you anyway. What does he pour into me? More love, more compassion, more and more do I get stronger on the inside. I pick up spiritual muscles that could never be developed any other way. Because when I'm trusting him to turn it into something good, he will. Will I enjoy the trip? No. Will he give me a hot toddy? Maybe. What am I saying to you? I'm trying to show you God's ways are no different than when your father and your mother corrected you and me with compassion and love. Sometimes it was more difficult for me to straighten out my son than it was to let him go and let it keep on going in the wrong direction. But I knew that if I didn't do what I was supposed to do, that they would not learn the lesson that they needed to learn. And I needed to apply some correction, some form of readjustment in their privileges. It wasn't always slapping, because I didn't believe in that. And neither did my dad. But there were times that he did use his hand. He did not use a stick. He used his hand. How did he apply the love? Sometimes it was uncomfortable. But I did learn character. I learned hope, and I learned perseverance. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Just close your eyes this time, and I want you to repeat it. And hope
does not disappoint me,
because God has poured into my heart his love fully inside of me by his Holy Spirit.
He's not finished with me yet.
He's forming me.
He's forming me.
Readjusting me.
And making me,
into an instrument of love,
and of compassion,
and of grace, to the broken. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though, for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood. Verse 9 should be very much a part of your declarations. Justification by his blood. Not justification by your actions. Not justification because you did everything good for the last 3 days. Amen?
When you justify that everything is great because now everything is at peace for the last 3 days, you might be in pride. You just might be happy about how great you are. And if you are, you just might be facing a nosedive down the road. And that's not what God wants. He's really trying to tell us, look, my blood on that cross cleansed you from every mistake you'll ever make. Every moment of hurt and rebellion, every moment of pain and destruction, every moment of lawlessness that you've ever done, it's already done. God, in his marvelous way, took that whole picture of sin and he dealt with it. And he justified us in the courts of heaven and in the courts of your own mind. That's the one you need to deal with. The heavenly court's already definitely clean, but your brain says, but if you had done all these other things right, then you might get a blessing. Might. You might get a blessing if you do it all right. But God already knew you'd make mistakes. He knew I would make mistakes. He knew that I would disobey my dad. He knew my dogs were smarter than me. Say ouch. Why am I saying ouch? Because sometimes animals have more wisdom than men and women. Amen? They're smart enough. They know darn well not to go there. In fact, in the tsunami that they had, that great big tsunami, they said the animals didn't get caught by surprise. They didn't get killed. If the people would have watched the animals, they would have got out of town. They would have went to higher ground. You see, get a clue. Don't think you're so great in your own eyes, because you're not. But Jesus already justified us by his blood. And that should be your confession this coming week. When you make a boo-boo. I don't want you to make boo-boos on purpose now. Don't go there. But if you do, should you have a small failure, declare it. Romans 5:9 says, I'm justified by the blood. Try it on for size. Say, if I make a boo-boo,
this week,
I will declare I'm justified by the blood of Jesus.
In the heavenly courts.
And in my own little court. The one that's sitting on top of my shoulders. Amen? That's the court of men and women. Yeah. It's not totally a brick. Amen?
Close your eyes. Father, this word, I believe, will revolutionize how much you have given to us and how much you love us. And how much grace is still available every time we need it. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And enjoy each other.